Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try! Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
And a welcome addition to that stellar lineup is Brett Finch, who is also with us this afternoon, all heading towards that 4 o'clock kickoff, the Eels. Travelling to Melbourne here, Amy Park, to take on Melbourne Storm in what is Cameron Smith's 356th NRL game of football. He will be going past Darren Lockyer's amazing 355 game record. Just heard that Darren Lockyer is the man who will be delivering the game ball today for it, which is a nice touch.
Brilliant touch, absolutely brilliant touch, because they obviously shared a lot of kangaroo tours together overseas, won so many State of Origin matches alongside one another, and I know that having been on kangaroo tours when Lockie was the captain and Cameron was the vice-captain, Cam certainly holds him in the absolute highest esteem.
Actually, your voice is sounding more like Lockie's voice, James Hooper, as well.
There is a bit of that. What's going on?
I might have to go and have a couple of Winnie Reds out the back. I'll see if I can
what is it about?
What is it, Benson and Hedges smoothie?
I'll see if I can stiffen it up a bit for you, Wendell.
Hey, Finchie, you spoke about, you know, the effect that Cameron has on his teammates, and they do the milestone games better than anyone else, and I guess that's kind of why. It's because, you know, he puts so much into the club, and the players respond to when guys like him and Cooper and Billy, they have those milestone moments. It's not about sort of what they've done for the club. It's more about then what the club can do for them to help them celebrate. Yeah,
yeah, exactly right. And Craig makes a huge deal of it down here. Whether it's your first game, 50th game, he clearly points out that it's an achievement of someone in the team, and it's special for them, and how important it is that the players make sure they play well to honour the night for your teammates. So it's a real, especially Craig and the big three, they've been down here for 15 years. Like they were down here when they were kids, you know, 17, yeah, 18 years of age. So not only are they celebrating milestones on the footy field, like in life as well, marriages, kids, they're so close. So I'm sure Bellyache would have grabbed the team aside from Cameron and said how important today is, not only for Cameron but for the team. You know, they've got a semi-final to win here, and you know, no better way to get a week off and one before the grand final and celebrate Smithy's milestone match.
They, of course, are in AFL heartland, and they do those milestone games hugely as well in the AFL. Darren Lockyer, he won't be at all bitter and twisted that his record's going to be beaten as he goes. He won't be putting the foot out the trip coming up as he goes.
You wouldn't be, would you?
I don't know. Would you be right? Do you hold any records at the moment?
Yeah. Oh, I've got a couple there somewhere, Tony, but yeah, you're always happy for people to come on and challenge. Well, not always, no.
I've got the record for being sacked from the most clubs. I'd be more than happy if someone could.
I do love it. All right, look at this Taipau scoreboard in last night's game, 24-22, the Rabbitohs over the Broncos. I know you were on the Professor last night on Fox League. What did you make of the game, Finchie? It was, seemed to me that the Roosters obviously had that game wrapped up, would have seemed, and then suddenly a couple of things went wrong, the mistakes that they made, and the Broncos were back in it.
Yeah, they were. The Roosters certainly made it hard for themselves. I thought they totally dominated the Broncos. The nine line breaks, you don't usually see that from a Brisbane side, and they bombed probably two or three. Isaac Liu come up short, Latrell Mitchell dropped it over the line, Boyd got sniped, yep, with the line wide open, and then obviously they gifted the Bronx a couple of late tries to get them back in front. So Trent Robinson will be happy. I still haven't seen the Roosters put in a full 80 minute performance, and they're one win away from a grand final, so that's a positive for Robbo. And the Bronx, they've got a bit of work, so I don't know what's going on with their defence girds.
It's, yeah,
some of them, Boyd Corden's try, especially through the middle, I haven't, yeah, seen Brisbane defence, you know, I don't, it's a soft defence, not soft from the players, but their defence hasn't been anywhere near it, you know, you expect the Broncos to be.
Well, they brought the week before, didn't they?
Peter Ryan
came in after being getting, what, 50-odd up against them,
yeah,
before that. So there's certainly an area that Wayne Bennett is focusing on.
It just seems like their mentality. It's, you know, your defence, Finch, it's all about attitude, isn't
no,
it?
No, I don't know anything. Yeah,
the good clubs, they build their defence just on attitude and willingness to get out there. And at the moment, the Broncos, just like when they've got the football, they look interested. But when they're defending, they're just not the same side as we've known in the past, and Wendell, that's what Wayne builds. premiership tilts on, isn't it, defence?
Oh, mate, of course he does. I mean, look, you know, the Broncos sides of yesteryear, you always had pretty good attackers, but defence was one of his main keys. You know, you always had those good defenders in there like Trevor Gilmeister and Peter Ryan and Big Gordy, you know, that fear. And even when he came to the Dragons, the first thing he said was, boys, there's a talented squad here, but, mate, the Dragons, you've got a soft underbelly, so we're going to fix that. And, mate, last night he would have been disappointed because even that press conference, you could just tell he didn't hide it. He knew that they probably didn't deserve to win, even though they thought, you know, they might steal it at the end. And I think he was just being honest there. It wasn't up to Broncos. As you said, Finchy, 9 line breaks. I think it was 6 line breaks in the first half.
Yeah, now the Broncos obviously get into the Melbourne side of the draw. It's not where they want to be, is it?
No, it's tough when you think about how hard it is to win a grand final. But if Melbourne win today, it's like winning 2 grand finals. You know, Parramatta fans out there, we're saying they've got to get past them first. But, yeah, you'd try to stay away from Melbourne if you could. And it's going to be tough for the Broncos. They've got the quality of roster, the team to do it. We've seen a couple of weeks ago. They were on a 4 or 5-game winning streak and blowing teams off the park. So they've got the team to do it. They've just got to turn it around pretty quick.
And just one final one for you, Finchy, and just a question without notice completely. Cooper Cronk, another key man in this Melbourne side. Are you surprised that he's taken it all the way through to the back end of the year before making any announcement about what he will do next year?
No, that doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised that it's there's not a decision being made just for both parties, but Coop's could have spoken to Melbourne about where he's going or what he's doing, but he's a pretty private person, Coops. He likes to do things his way and sort of different to most people, and he doesn't like the attention, so he would have been happy. You know, even if he does, you know, hang up the boots at the end of the year with no fanfare, no send-offs, he'd rather it not be about him. That's the sort of bloke he is. But, you know, just like Cameron, whether or not he decides how many more years left, he's still playing as, you know, some pretty good football, and he's the current Australian halfback. So I'm sure plenty of teams would love to have him in his side.
Mate, lovely to have you with us, even for a very brief time. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, boys. Great to be back with you, Del.
Yeah, you too, mate. It's been a long time, brother.
Yeah, mate.
Remember, you can hear the Swans and Essendon stay live on Triple M DAB Radio. Sydney's best coverage starts from 3. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M rocks the 40 Saturday afternoon. Amy Park in Melbourne, that's where you will find us. Cameron Smith's 356th game. More importantly, it is, of course, the qualifying final between the Eels and the Storm. Before getting more previews of this game and what else is going on around finals time in the NRL, Wendell Saylor, what's been happening on the home front?
Well, you know, Tony, you know how, like, Tara was in Hong Kong, and so I took up the reins and was really, like, I was like Father of the Week. I was like, any father out there?
Is there an award, Father of the Week? I wonder.
I don't know, but you know how we like awards sometimes, and me more than others. Anyway, so I backed it up. So last night, my daughter wanted to go to Ariana Grande. So on Thursday night, I said, look, babe, whatever you need, you and your friend Victoria, I said, I'll be your driver. So I let the girls sit in the back of the car on Thursday night. They went to the headrest and that. And I thought they'd want to go to, like, the concert, like, at 3 or 4. I left Wollongong at 11 o'clock. They lined up from 1:30 yesterday because they wanted to get prime time. You know, at the front where they all sort of... I said, honey, why wouldn't you just buy a normal ticket and sit up there? She goes, no, no.
Dad, oh, like the mosh pit kind
yeah,
of area.
Yeah. So, mate, respect to the girls because, obviously, Ariana, she was pretty good. But they went to the new... What's the new City Entertainment Centre? They lined up there from 1:30 yesterday afternoon, and the concert finished about 11 o'clock. So.
And how did Big Del spend his time?
I had to work yesterday, so it was all right. I just sort of went and did a few meetings, had a few bit of coffee, mate. Sydney's
so you just
beautiful.
Dropped the kids off.
Yeah, I couldn't stay there. Well, I didn't want to. What do you want me to do? I can't stand around.
Imagine Big Wendell in the mosh pit at
Ariana Grande.
But Tara came later in the afternoon because she actually works. She actually has to work a proper job. But you know what? I'm really liking this full time father stuff. You know, it's really good, and I don't want rewards for it. I don't want credit for it. So it's great.
I've been a pretty good dad this week too, boys.
Have you?
Olive, my almost 8-year-old, came up to me early in the week, and she's got the front tooth is a little bit wobbly.
Uh-huh.
Well, a little bit wobbly. It was pretty wobbly, to be honest.
Right.
And so she came up with an idea hey, Dad, I want to tie some string to my tooth. Yeah. I want it to come out. And how about we tie some string to it? I'll go to bed. Yeah, you come in while I'm asleep and pull it out.
What?
And she said,
not doorknob or anything like that. Not, you know,
because I'm asleep, I won't feel it. I said, well, what makes you think that? She said, well, I'll be asleep. So anyway, so she came up and I got some string and we tied it onto a tooth. Yeah,
was it really wobbly?
It was Not as wobbly as I probably would have liked, which you'll find out at the end of the story.
You still
but there you can see her there, and I'm just showing Tony a photo here.
Yeah, listeners, I'm just looking at a photo.
Yeah, I know, but you just see the tooth looks pretty well in place at that point, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so anyway, so that's in there. So I'm sitting on the couch, and she goes to bed, and so a couple of hours later...
I don't believe I'm here.
She's like, Dad, make sure, you know, I want it out in the morning. It's got to be gone. You just kind of do your job. She put the heavy on me, and she was committed, and she was... You know, it was her tooth.
She put the heavy on you, pull my tooth out.
Yes, absolutely, Tony. Okay. Absolutely. So anyway, I walked in there after a couple of hours, and there, gorgeous little thing there, just out like a light. Mm. So I gave it a couple of little pulls, like you're fishing, and you give it a couple of little yanks, and everything got on there, and not much happened. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I can't let her down. What am I going to do?
Is this the right tooth?
It was on the right tooth. I can confirm that, Tony.
Okay.
So what I did then, so I thought, well, I'm going to have to give it a good go to get this thing out. She's going to be really disappointed. So I got the string and I looped it around my finger a couple of times and then just went,
Wooshka!
And out it came, flew up into the air and landed on the floor somewhere. I couldn't find where it had gone to. She sort of sprung up like, in a little bit of shock, and you'll see the photo there, the string and the details there, and then she took the tissues to bed because she knew there was going to be some blood. She wiped the tissues, gave herself a little bit of a okay, I'm okay, and went back to sleep. Woke up I woke down, I was horrified, like sitting on the couch for the next hour.
You were horrified.
What have I done? What have I done?
The 50,000 people who are calling docs now are horrified.
well, it's all okay.
Did you run this idea past your wife at any point?
Yeah, she kind of, I didn't give her the full details but she was on the couch and I was like, I gave her the nod, well I'm going in now. I don't think she thought I'd...
Is it still the same conversation?
I don't think she thought I'd execute, Tony. I don't think she thought I'd be able to do it, but I didn't want to let my daughter down, so it's out.
Yeah.
It's missing.
And did you then transfer the tooth under the pillow, the tooth fairy element?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to go through what we pay tooth fairies?
I would
these
like
days?
To know. How much
you pay the tooth fairy came, Olive, if you're listening, because I know you're interested in the tooth fairy, and she came and left $2, which I thought was a little bit stingy. I thought it could have been $5.
Yeah.
But the tooth fairy wanted to leave $2, but it was a clean teeth. You get more money for clean teeth. It may be a dollar if it was yellow.
Yeah, right. Tooth fairy.
I'd get about 150 for my things.
Yeah, that's the tooth fairy's job. I don't know what you describe your job as.
Yeah, but they're not yours, mate. They're not yours, Gerds. They're some poor elephants.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Brighton's lawyers. The legal landscape can be confusing. See if you have a claim. Just ask the question at askbrightons.com.au.
A minute of the footy. Too good. Oh, my. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Plenty to come. Of course you will. All thanks to Iveco Trucks. Preview this game a little bit later on, closer to kickoff at 4 o'clock. We'll also have a look at Manly taking on the Panthers and the Sharks and the Cowboys. Those, of course, are eliminations finals. This is a qualifying final between the Melbourne Storm and the Parramatta Eels. Right now, though, we might do a little bit of this.
Now, the moment we've all been waiting for. The Saturday NRL Awards. Take it away, Tony.
My continuing quest to be a game show host.
I love the Tony Awards. I love the Tony Awards. Good.
The Tony Awards.
Yeah, I love
them. Yeah, there is no awards called the Tony Awards.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it, mate. Thank you.
Yeah. And these aren't them. these are the Saturday NRL Awards. We're just looking back at some of the great moments, or not so great moments, in the rugby league season for you, and just getting an idea from these gentlemen what they thought on various categories. I'm going to start. Let's just throw it around. Maybe his name has already been mentioned today. The best signing for season 2017. Is there much of an argument, Ryan Girdler?
For me, it comes down to Luke Keary and Nathan Brown, two guys. Like, Luke Keary's influence on the game last night, I think, was crucial. And I think Nathan Brown will need to have a big impact today if the Parramatta are to cause an upset. But they're the two that jumped into my mind, boys.
I reckon there's a developed print photo between those two and also Blake Green at Manly. Last week, we touched on it earlier with Finchie. The Seagulls submitted their best performance of the year. Blake Green, the way that he controlled that side was just absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to go Blake Green just to go a little bit left field. It's a very, very close field. I don't think the Seagulls would have made the finals unless Blake Green joins Manly.
Yeah. Luke Keary alongside Mitchell Pearce, in many ways, and certainly last night he's had the upper hand. He's played so well. Wendell, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Luke Keary. Like halfway through the season, Paul Vaughan was, he was thereabouts. And then obviously Nathan Brown has been wonderful. But I think Luke Keary, after the way that he exited the Bunnies, when you go head-to-head with Russell Crowe, your career can go one way or the other. He's on the up. And just the way he stood up last night, it was special. So Luke Keary for me, even at the end there, I know we give rap to Latrell Mitchell but if you have a look at it, Luke Keary, he swings by there and he gets him to bite in, and Roberts actually turns in and he throws that pass. So Luke Keary for me, hands down.
All right, look, let's go on the downside. Is there any hoops, any kind of shocking moments that stick out in your head?
Oh, look, one thing that I think caused a lot of negative headlines and was certainly a blight on the game was Tim Simona and everything that he went through earlier in the season. So, I don't think there were too many positives to come out of that. And hopefully if there is anything at all, people can realise that should never, ever happen again.
Indeed. Big Del, I know you don't like to be negative, but any thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think for me it was unfortunate, but watching a champion like Greg Inglis, early in the season, running back out and going on one leg, just, it was like a horse that you just knew that was going to be trouble if he kept, running around there, and just the way it ended for GI and the Bunnies' hopes were dashed then and then.
Yeah, massive. Good.
Look, I don't like to bring these incidents up, but one thing that sort of, I think, shocked the NRL community this year was the Soliola tackle on Billy Slater.
Yep.
After a couple of weeks after he was back. And look, I think it was dealt with accordingly. And Billy's obviously back and playing well, but yeah, that incident, I think, shook up the community a little bit.
Billy Slater, I think, would certainly get a mention in the best moment, wouldn't he, of the season. I mean, he has had injuries and he's come back from huge injuries. And when he made his return this season, that was one of those things. Even if you weren't a Queensland supporter, to see Billy Slater running around again on a football field is just something that's a joy to behold, isn't it?
What a player, Tone. People said that he wouldn't be back.
Yep.
The critics certainly had him written off and said that his shoulder was mince and he wouldn't be able to sustain returning from an injury like that. What are you laughing at, Ron?
You're really just dragging some really good ones.
That's what they said. I spoke to a bloke who said Billy Slater's shoulder is like mincemeat.
Yeah,
that's
what he said. You should have heard him in the cab on the way here, Tane. Oh, well, you're in the front seat.
I'm in the front.
Yeah, but it's a stretch. Sit next to Hoops. The language he was talking, a different, total different language with someone. He had a conversation within the car, but
with all rhyming slang.
With all his rhyming slang, it was unreal. I think you didn't use the Bull Eye Pass.
he had a few other
special ones there.
All right, what about you, Del, for your best moment?
Oh, look, you guys probably won't like this, but I just thought Game 2, Origin, I think Jonathan Thurston to stay on the field, to kick that goal, for Queensland to win the way they did, that was massive. They were gone. Like, even at halftime, I just saw Queensland can't even get out of this. So for me, JT in Game 2.
I think Gerds has got a better one than that, haven't you, Gerds?
Yeah, I'm going to say Origin Game 1, New South Wales dominance.
How'd that series go for you?
We're talking a moment here, buddy, a moment.
Sorry.
There was a moment. Yeah. It was a great moment. Yeah. Went up there as underdogs and were able to win in enemy territory, that was a big moment.
Not in Game 3, but anyway.
Yeah. Is there something different between that and the wow moment? What's your wow moment?
My wow moment is actually what Wendell's best moment was a minute ago, JT in State of Origin 2. The footage of him, Tone, when he was carrying that shoulder around and then to kick that goal under pressure. But seeing how Wendell went that way, I'll come up with another one as well.
And
unfortunately, it pains me to say it was out of that same game, but Josh Maguire made a great break when the game was in the balance and the Maroons were trailing. And that then paved the way for Queensland to orchestrate that brilliant comeback. I don't think he's got enough credit for it. And I mean, you talk about some of the best forwards of the year. Well, Josh Maguire, the way that I've seen it, he certainly has to be in that conversation.
100%. What's your wow, Gerds?
Mine was a bit of a toss-up. Vunivalu's try against the Dragons when he contorted his body and was sort of basically
ridiculous.
And they do it all season, the wingers these days, but I thought that one was a bit of a standout. DCE's right foot, left foot field goal, that's pretty hard to
Yep.
Go past as well. So there's a couple of nice moments from the season.
What's your wow, Del?
Yeah, look, I think for me, a bloke that we've been talking about recently, Matt Moylan, I think the Raiders were home and hose in that game when they went to the country. And
yeah.
Just only he could have got the Panthers back then. That's why they can't lose him. So when they got those two tries in the last, 5 minutes, I know the Bunnies did it to the Dragons, but because I'm an ex-Dragon, I didn't really like that. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Matt Moylan.
All right, as I said, I look on this field, no red. They're painted at Amy Park, hashtag Cam356. As you think of the stars of 2017, can we go past him? Who's your favourite? Oops.
I wasn't listening to that, Tony. What was that, best moment? Or who's your star? Of...
Yeah, just say whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. I said, can you lend me $500?
Yeah. I just lent you a lobster for that rubbish souvlaki. We just had for lunch.
Souvlaki.
That was good, though, that souvlaki.
But, Tony, that wasn't on our list.
Three times already.
You're just ad-libbing now, Tony. Using your poetic license to come up with content that we're not ready for.
What did you hit us with, Tony? Was it
hit with star of...
2018.
Oh, the star. Yeah.
Next year's star.
Next year's star.
I said Cam Smith is this year.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't listening either. I'm going to start off with, and he's already been mentioned here today, I think Ben Hunt and the Dragons.
I wasn't listening.
I think Ben Hunt is going to a club that's been struggling over the past. You might know about that. Yeah. And look, I just think the maturity he's shown during this season has really surprised me. I think his character's really shone. The fact that, you know, he's been able to now go into number nine. I thought he was probably their best player last night in a beaten side. And I think every week that he goes on for the field for the Broncos, he carries a lot of pressure. But I think he's really handled himself on and off the field really with a lot of dignity this year, and I think he's going to be a great addition to the Dragons, and I look forward to watching him help them out next year.
Big Del?
I'm going to go with Tom Trbojevic. I just think we're starting to see the emergence of someone special. We know he's a young, he's a very good talent. This year he was going to play Origin before he got injured, and I reckon he'll be in that probably World Cup squad, but I just think next year he'll be the Dally M fullback of the year just in front of Tedesco this year, but I think next year we'll be talking about him for Dally M.
And spell Trbojevic again?
No, I'm not spelling it again. I wasn't good at spelling at school, and I'm not starting now.
Okay, Trbojevic.
Okay,
all right, and I think you might have had the same person.
I'm going to go for a young man who stole the spotlight last night, Tony, Latrell Mitchell. I think he really did announce himself as a big game, big moment player last night. Only the special players can make those style of influences on games. So,
thank you.
I think that the future is very, very bright for Latrell Mitchell.
All right, and I think this one might be for you, Ryan Girdler. Do you have an encouragement or award of some sort?
No, is it for everyone or is it just for me, Tony?
No, I will.
Oh, the courage.
He's just making it up as he goes.
Look, I think Brock Lamb's had a really good season, especially the back half for the Newcastle Knights. I think he'll be great next year, but I think he needs a special mention for a young guy coming through that, you know, had a bit of a tough patch and then was able to just at the back end of it come out and really play some good footy.
All right, now final award, of course, is the best excuse used by Wendell Saylor for not being here with us
on time or anything.
Just the best excuse that Wendell has come up with. Or whether it be Wendell or his wife who rings in for Wendell.
Yeah.
One of those two, you know, when Tara might ring in and say, I'm sorry, Wendell's feeling a little bit sick today and he can't. Wendell ate his homework and can't come in. Yeah. Any of those sorts of things. So what have you got for us, Gerd?
Look, I thought the day he came in and said he was late because he ran out of moisturiser.
Yeah,
that was pretty ordinary. There's the other times when he says, I was late today because my wife went away and I had to be a father.
Just an occasional thing for him.
I'm going. Why? I love you guys.
I love
the days that he doesn't show, but he just gets his missus to call. That's right.
That was once, mate. Hoops, don't make it like it was time and time again. That was one time, mate. You know, it's like you do one little thing and then people just hold it against you. Let it go, mate. Let it go.
Good to see it hasn't hit a raw nerve.
Because you keep bringing it up every couple of weeks, that's why.
Saturday Triple M NRL, we're doing it for Brighton's lawyers. Saturday Triple M NRL, we are live from Amy Park in Melbourne. James Hooper has headed down towards the sideline trying to catch up with Brad Arthur, the Eels coach. We'll bring that to you as soon as possible. But as you know, there's a terrific competition going on. It is this one.
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Yeah, indeed, over the past few weeks, as you know, we've been asking people to send us their best rugby league commentary. Registrations are, of course, closed now. We're just searching for the winner of the Triple M Footy Voice. Now, that winner will get a commentating experience, plus tickets to the NRL Grand Final. Brilliant just in itself. Who knows, maybe that start of a new career with Triple M. So, look, we sat down here at Triple M HQ, selected the semi-finalists. We, in fact, did that on air last week, sending them a new challenge to call the last few minutes of the 2015 Grand Final, voted earlier by Ryan Girdler as one of the greatest of all time and the best of the best, the Broncos taking on the Cowboys. Here's just a sample from their entries.
Murray from Waverley in New South Wales.
Junior Paulo gets it short off the hip of Hodgson. He turns in the tackle, gets it to his front row counterpart in Boyd, and Boyd takes four Panthers. 3 metres out from the line, directly in front of the upright. Hodgson to dummy half, sums his options up and will go to the left-hand side. Austin with a big show and go. He keeps the ball alive. Over the top to Whiten. Whiten with a big cutout. Into the corner goes Kotrick, and he's got it down. The Raiders strike back.
Mark from Preston's New South Wales.
Gives it on to Mitchell Pearce, who decides to put it high into this swirling breeze. But it's beautifully taken by the Tigers' winger, Malachi Watine Selezniak. It gets to the Tigers' 30 before Guerrera, Mitch Orbison and Warrera Hargraves decide to drag him down. Just on 2.5 minutes gone, no score yet, with the Tigers with the ball as Kevin Naguama goes for a bit of a gallop and gains a few extra metres before his progress is stopped. Naguama now plays it back to Taylor, gives it on to Noel Faluma, who tries to break through, but he's brought down by Dylan Napper and Isaac Liu.
There you go. Look, I did say the 2015 Grand Final, neither of them resembled those games at all.
No.
But still, brilliant work. Okay, so we had Murray, and Murray Connellan and Mark Flanagan. What were your thoughts, Ryan Girdler?
Yeah, look, I think I think I like Murray. I think I like the first guy.
Yeah.
He seemed to be... I think just Mark made a couple of errors there, the crucial stages were just sort of, you lost the moment when you're following along, and unfortunately, you know, the pros, they don't do that. And to get an opportunity to call the grand final, you've got to get it right. And I just think Mark nudged Murray out, or possibly the other way around. I can't remember which one was which.
I think you're saying Mark out, because Murray certainly was the guy first. What do you think, Del?
Yeah, Mark, see you later, mate. Oh, it wasn't up to scratch. He tried hard, but mate, when you're calling, you've got to get precise. You've got to be precise in what you're doing. I know that in this game, when you're calling those big games, I've worked with Dan Ganane and guys like Anthony Maroon, you just got to nail it. So, Mark, just keep working on it, and I'm sure you'll be back next year.
Didn't you call somebody this year saying they had to step up in the second half and they weren't actually playing, Wendell?
I don't remember that. I can't remember that. Yes, yes. Yes, that was Simon Mannering. Yes, yes. But that's what happens. Even the best of us make mistakes. But it just didn't blend for me. So thank you for bringing that up,
Tony. I thought there was a bit more energy with Murray. Murray goes through. And look at Mark Flanagan. Thank you so much for your efforts.
Good on you,
Mark. Congratulations. Yeah. Right. Let's listen to our second Monty.
Adam from Newcastle in New South Wales.
Right, mate, he offloads to a flying Croft. Step inside. Savini tries in vain. Oh, Brady Croft. He runs away with it. 3 in the kit bag. All the way back to Melbourne. And it's 32-16 on the Cotire scoreboard. And that seals the minor premiership for the purple juggernaut, the Melbourne Storm.
Albie from Randwick in New South Wales.
Sends it to Laffey. Laffey offloads to Nightingale on his wing. Comes inside his man. Pushes away. One, two, just throws away Maguire, but goes down in the tackle, 9 out. Laffey goes at the act in half, pushes away Boyd. He's trying to aim for the line now. He's got some strength about him, does a full 360. Sends it out to Thompson, to Whittaker. Massive cutout pass by 3 players. To Kurt Mann, steps outside his man, steps right around Nikarima now. Offloads the ball to Dugan. Dugan's on his way to the line, and he does a Max Maddox and drops it.
I like Albie. That was Albie there.
Yeah,
I
a little like reference Albie to the past. Yeah. There, so obviously a real student of the game.
Yeah.
High energy from both of them, Tony, yeah, but yeah. Danny, unfortunately, one of them's got to go.
Yeah.
And Wendell, who should that be?
I really enjoyed Albie. He did have a lot of... He really directed his voice well. I think Adam might be a bit unlucky. I think Adam might go.
Yeah, see you, Adam.
All right. Both terrific entrance.
Yeah, really good.
Albie Tallarico from Randwick in New South Wales goes through. Bad luck to Adam Linacre from Newcastle. Congratulations. Well played, all of you. A reminder that, of course, the Triple M Footy Voice, the chance to win the tickets to the NRL Grand Final, the commentating experience, and who knows, maybe a start in a new career with Triple M. And we'll Brad Arthur will join us very shortly. Before we get to Brad Arthur, he's 30 seconds away. Will Hoops is down there. There's been a bit of argy-bargy between Brad Arthur and Craig Bellamy, Gerds, in the lead-up to this this game. Do you like that?
I think, you know, I don't think there was a lot in it, to be honest, and I think Brad's come out and clarified that. I think that there was a small message in it, more so to do with the referees, but I think it was taken a little bit out of context, and that's been cleared up. But generally, I do like it. You know, I liked Flanagan and Wayne Bennett had a go a couple of weeks ago. I just think I really like when, you know, coaches and players come out and say what they think as opposed to giving us sort of, the, you know, what they think that we want to hear. Coming out and saying that, you know, we're the better team and I think we're going to win today and these are the reasons why. I think it's refreshing. And but these two coaches don't pull any punches and Brad always gives up his time and I'm sure he is confident going into today's game.
And he stands by on the sideline as we speak. He is with James Hooper. Eels coach Brad Arthur.
Yeah, here he is. BA, how's preparations been so far?
Yeah, it's been solid for us. You know, we've had a long turnaround since our last game, so everyone's feeling fresh and everyone's excited, ready to go.
Bit of banter between you and Craig Bellamy during the week. Have you spoken to him at all or text him? Or?
Yeah, me. Craig had a good chat on Sunday. It's, you know, I was more complimentary of their tackle systems and probably just trying to position ourselves to maybe win a few penalties.
Your side, can we expect any changes today? Or?
No, we're 1-17. Yeah.
Up to you, boys.
It's written on that ground in front of you, Brad Arthur, hashtag Can356. Big milestone game for a key man in the opposition. They usually are up for it. It's already a final, so it's a big game. How do you stop him in this team?
Yeah, look, they're very good at you know, rewarding players for milestones, so we know they're not going to beat themselves. We need to be at our very best. You know, we're going into the game with a lot of confidence on the back of, you know, 9 of our last 10 performances have been wins and some of those have been, you know, against some high-quality opposition. So we need to make sure that, you know, we can try to dominate field position, limit their opportunities and, you know, when they do get in some good field position, we're going to have to make sure we've got that mentality to keep turning up for each other.
Yeah, Brad, you said post-game last week that you're pretty much a free throw at the stumps. Has that sort of filtered down to the boys? Are they feeling the pressure? Do they feel like they're just coming down here really with nothing to lose?
No, there's no pressure on the boys whatsoever. They're actually they're very confident that they can get the job done. You know, while we lack a little bit of semi-final experience, you wouldn't know that during the week. Bo Scott and Michael Jennings have been terrific, and it's pretty much been a similar week for us, you know, compared to round one to round 26.
Hey, BA, it's Del, mate. I'm getting very excited because some of the best outside backs are playing in this game. Mate, the two big Fijian Flyers, Semi and Vunivalu, mate, how good. How do you stop a guy like Vunivalu, but also how do they stop your man?
Yeah, look, you got to try and limit the amount of opportunities you give him with open space. But Buller, you're looking at him today and yesterday, there's a real sense of concentration and focus on him, similar to the last time we're down here. So I'm just hoping that you know, he's close to, you know, how he played last time we're here.
Do you get a sense this week that Corey Norman's going to have a good final series? I mean, he's had a quiet sort of back end to the season. I think he's let or allowed the other players around him to shine. You guys have won 9 from your last 10. Do you think a moment today might be his?
Yeah, Corey likes the big games. Today's a big game. We had a couple of big games that, you know, in those last few rounds, the two Broncos games, and he was at his best. So I'm sure that he'll be at his best. But, he, you know, he's learning to allow other players to play their role, and it's only going to make his job easier.
Mitch Moses, I read, saying how excited he was. This is his first time in the finals. There's so much experience, obviously, on the side that you face up against, but there must be a level of excitement in your dressing room.
Yeah, there's, you know, a level of excitement and all the expectations on the opposition, so that takes the pressure right off our boys, and they won't be afraid to chance their hand. We've just got to make sure that, you know, we're not turning the ball over too cheaply, and we're certainly not giving it back to them in good field position.
Brad Arthur, look, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time that you give on such an important day. Good luck for it.
Thanks, BA.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, BA.
There he is. Thanks, Hoops. Yeah, will make his way back up. Brad Arthur there. He seems very calm and on board, doesn't he?
Well, he does, yeah. And he's sort of been able to deflect all week, hasn't he? Because yeah, he's right. Everyone's expecting them. I mean, they're $5, you know, for the punters out there. I think they're
a two-horse race.
So no one gives them too much of a chance, but exactly right. If someone's going to know how to pull apart the Melbourne side, it's a guy that's been down their system for a long time, worked with the guys like Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk, and knows the fact that, you know, that's the balance. When you come and play Melbourne, especially down here, you've got to get the balance right. The balance is being able to attack and challenge the Melbourne offensive line without making errors. That's really hard to do. You give them opportunities in your own half, and they make you pay. They do it better than any. They've got their set pieces better executed than any other team in the competition. So in one chance, you've got to get out there and you really got to, you know, play what you see and challenge the Melbourne defence, but you've got to do it in a way where it's really controlled and you get that balance right, and I think you do push Melbourne Storm.
4 o'clock kickoff here, crowd building up as we speak. Plenty to come, preview this game and others. Saturday Triple M and NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. With Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes, as we see a remote control blimp doing some work here at Ailey Park.
Oh, you mean there's no one in that thing, Tony?
Very, very, very small pilot. Did you see that? I think it's remote control. I certainly hope so. It's now disappeared over the roof of Ailey Park Stadium here in Melbourne ahead of the Melbourne Storm taking on the Eels. Remember, back into this final series and share it with your mates via UBets or new BetShare. And remember, gamble responsibly. Nick Curry from UBet joins us right now. G'day, mate.
G'day, Tony. G'day, everyone.
How are we looking then? You'd think the Storm, all the interest would be with the people who are favoured to be premiers of this season.
Yeah, look, you're spot on there, Tony. One-way traffic, for the most part, on the Melbourne Storm head-to-head at $1.20. Parramatta Eels, $4.75. There are a few punters specking the Eels at a big price. The punters that think the Eels maybe have an ambush in them today, but the majority of that head-to-head cash certainly with the Storm. The line, 12.5 points. Most of the money's with the minus, so if you're following the money today, you're backing the Storm to win and win by more than 2 converted tries.
What about the other game today, Manly versus the Panthers? You'd have to think Manly are going strong favourites, wouldn't you?
Yeah, look, after their win last week over the Panthers, that's right, Gert, they're $1.58. Penny, $2.45 outsiders, not too many takers for them. 4 points is the line, and we got the game total there at 39.5, and there's been a good early look at the overs, so maybe a few points in that one.
And finals week, week one specials?
Yeah, we've got a heap of markets open, player props, all that sort of thing. A lot of them at the moment are just being worked on, reworked. But what I can tell you guys, the Melbourne Storm now odds on for the premiership into $1.85. That is after last night's game between the Roosters and the Broncos. Our traders weren't all that impressed between number 2 and number 3, so we've wound the Storm into $1.85.
Yep, they're impressive. All right, okay, Nick Curry, thank you as ever. Back and win to this final series. Share it with your mates via UBets, all new BetShare. Gamble responsibly. All right, we need to take a break on the other side. We are in build-up mode as we head towards the 4 o'clock kickoff. Melbourne Storm taking on the Parramatta Eels in this qualifying final right here. Saturday Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks Saturday Arvo footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.